This is the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. And United States Representative Gwen Moore is with us for the next half an hour. We're talking about the federal response to COVID-19 and how she's advocating for Wisconsin's needs, especially as hospitals and clinics report they expect to run out of supplies as a surge of patients need care. You're part of this conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. What do you think Congress should be doing in this fight against the spread of the new coronavirus? What would you like to see happen? And what do you want Representative Moore to know about your community? 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. Gwen Moore is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th District. She represents parts of the Milwaukee metro region. Moore served in Congress since she was elected in 2004. Congresswoman, thank you for being with us again on The Morning Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. This
Certainly.
Is Keely.
Yes. Every branch of government right now sending out directives, making rules for what people can't or shouldn't do right now. What do you see as the role of the federal government in this coronavirus outbreak?
Well, Keely, to tell you the truth, the federal government is the only agency that really can execute a coordinated plan. I have been on many calls with the Democratic caucus, and they've talked about the conundrum that states are facing. They're bidding, for example, on PPE, personal protective equipment, the gloves and robes and masks, and they're competing with each other for it. And then FEMA comes along, and so the prices can be raised because they can outbid them. And it's true that special interests actually enjoy and appreciate this sort of price gouging. And I think it's a reason that we have seen the president be very reluctant to fully execute the defense procurement powers that he has, because it's beneficial to business. And so I think the federal government has got to be that impartial player that can make sure that price gouging doesn't occur, and that equipment is really deployed at places where it's needed most and in a timely manner.
You're a member of the Ways and Means Committee, which is a really powerful committee. What do you see your role as a representative from Wisconsin right now? How can you advocate for the needs of our state?
Thanks for that question, Keely. I mean, I'm really proud to be a part of the Ways and Means Committee. I mean, that's a committee that really leaned into the tax provisions of the bill, and the unemployment compensation, the expansion of unemployment compensation to include those workers who aren't ordinarily covered by unemployment insurance, those sort of gig workers, as it were, people who work at bars and restaurants, to enable them to receive the unemployment insurance, and to make sure that we get benefits to adults, taxpayers, and people who've had no tax liability but who are adults, $1,200 per person and $500 for children under 17, and really still working behind the scenes to try to make sure that we can get these monies to people as efficiently as possible. Right now, if you filed a tax return in 2018 or 2019 electronically, you will be able to automatically, and if you've provided your bank routing information, you can get your monies in perhaps, I would say, 3 weeks. But if you have to fill out a short form or take other measures to get the money, then it could be up to 4 months before you get the money. And so that concerns me, because the original bill enabled folks who were on Social Security to be able to automatically get these $1,200 payments. And now this is being interpreted somehow in the Republican bill, where folks who are on Social Security will have to take that extra step and fill out a second form.
But I do wonder about, sort of, Congresswoman, if I might interrupt, these one-time payments, certainly a cash infusion can help families that are struggling, people who've lost jobs or have hours cut. And at the same time, these are just one-time payments. I mean, are there better ways that the federal government, that Congress should be helping people who are losing jobs or struggling to make ends meet right now?
Oh, absolutely. These are all one-time payments, but we were able, as a Democrat, I can say we were really proud to have moved the needle to provide these unemployment benefits for up to 4 weeks, 4 months, I'm sorry. And so those are more than one-time payments. In addition to that, we've provided another $600 a month in connection with the state unemployment insurance to supplement unemployment payments. And, of course, the legislation also provides monies to the states for unemployment benefits as well. We've also put monies in the bill to help state and local governments, nonprofits, small businesses, really trying to incentivize businesses to retain employees. We provide a quote-unquote forgivable loan such that businesses can borrow monies, and if they use it to pay rent or mortgage or to retain employees, to provide salaries, then these loans can be forgiven. And so there are other steps. You know, this is by far not enough, Keeley, but these are additional things that we've done besides the one-time only payment. We've also added monies to our food security programs, to our SNAP program. We have an expanded eligibility, but we're mindful of the urgency that this will cause, and trying to make sure that benefits sort of leech onto to members of the community who aren't necessarily connected as taxpayers.
Glenn Moore is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th District, which includes parts of Milwaukee. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can also email your questions, your thoughts for the Congresswoman at ideas@WPR.org. And Representative Moore, Mark from Wisconsin Dells wants to join our conversation now. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is because I had a texting war actually with my neighbors who were exposed to their son who lives with them, who works in a hospital and was sent home on quarantine because he was exposed to a patient. They both got sick but continue to go out into the public, hiking on state parks and going to the grocery store because they say it's only pneumonia. They went to the hospital out of not being able to breathe, and they were told it's only a pneumonia. And then they just said, okay, we can go to the store now because it's only pneumonia. We have that situation, and then we have all the people from Illinois who have come up to a vacation since they stay at home. And so they're staying in Wisconsin instead, depleting our grocery stores. But I called the sheriff's departments, health departments, and state police, and I was told we are not enforcing stay-at-home in Wisconsin. I guess most people aren't, but it seems to me that if we have a lot of non-compliance and we don't enforce it, that we're sort of spitting in the wind.
Yeah, okay. Mark, we appreciate the question, Congresswoman,
and Mark,
response.
Mark, you make an excellent point. One of the things that we have learned from the Asian cultures that have dealt with this pandemic before it moved over here is that really people self-policing themselves and really caring and being concerned about their elders and neighbors and not using and imposing that self-discipline is what has led to a flattening of the curve. I think one of the biggest mistakes that has been made around this pandemic in the United States and why we're the epicenter now is because we've been in denial for so long. We first learned about this in January. We could even forgive, I guess, the administration for sending, the protective equipment over to China to deal with their pandemic then and simply closing the borders, because we had already seen a case emerge in the state of Washington at that point. And so the longer we were in denial about this pandemic and not encouraging people by example and self-discipline is the reason that we have seen this become, United States become the epicenter of the pandemic. And so, no, police are not enforcing it, because how many police would you need to make everybody do what they need to do? They need to take it seriously. This is the next couple of weeks here in the state of Wisconsin is predicted, according to the scientific models. If you don't believe in anything else, we'll try to believe in science now. The next couple of weeks are going to be really, really a very toxic time. And so, new CDC advice at this point is if you can cover your mouth, even if it's not a traditional mask, maybe, cover your mouth and make sure that you practice good hand sanitation. I mean, I've got you could have your, my daughter literally had a bucket of, had bleach, a towel with bleach water
trying
on
to,
it that
yeah,
she
trying
wiped
to keep
the handles of grocery carts.
Yeah, we'll be just back in a moment here on The Morning Show with U.S. Representative Gwen Moore. Thanks for listening to the Ideas Network. Wisconsin has received a second shipment of personal protective equipment from the national stockpile. That's according to U.S. News and World Report. The supplies are meant for emergency workers and people who serve in hospitals, clinics, nursing homes, and assisted living facilities. We're talking with U.S. Representative Gwen Moore here on The Morning Show, and a shortage of protective masks and ventilators is just one aspect of our conversation about COVID-19. I'm Keely Boltina, and there's a line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Are you worried about healthcare right now, maybe the economy, or is something else on your mind? What do you want the Congresswoman to know? 800-642-1234. And Congresswoman Moore, on that shortage of ventilators, personal protective equipment, testing kits, you mentioned that the Trump administration, you said, was hesitant to enforce some of the opportunities like the Defense Production Act to increase production of these things. What, as a member of Congress, can you do to help states try to get this material?
Well, this is a power that the president has right now, and we need him to execute that power. I mean, fortunately, we're seeing some influx of equipment from China at this point, because at one point, President Trump sent through our USAID, 17.8 tons of equipment, including ventilators and PPEs, over to China at the beginning of their pandemic. And basically, that was a decision I think was made, a calculation. I would speculate that we could somehow contain the virus in China and close the borders and send the equipment over there. And so we really lost a lot of time because at that same point, we had governors like Governor Inslee in the state of Washington at the simultaneously begging for equipment. And so time is of the essence, as they would say. And so right now, scientists have said that we're sort of working behind the curve. And so as soon as we sort of mitigate and really come to terms with our own behavior and really you know, let the president know that, you know, we can't continue to wait. The president has got to, he's got to stop listening to industry, who would love to take capital advantage of our current situation and make them produce it. They can produce these gowns. This is this stuff can be produced with the execution of those powers, and the president is really relying on volunteer efforts. And we shouldn't have high school kids making face masks. I mean, it's cute, but it's not what we need right now.
Transitioning a bit, COVID-19 is on the minds of a lot of people as more than a dozen states have made the decision to postpone their presidential primaries, and Wisconsin is not one of those. Our primary is next week on Tuesday. What's your take on this? Because there are some high stakes for your party, the Democratic Party here.
Well, there are high stakes for all citizens. There really is. And I think that, of course, we didn't see the pandemic coming. And there are lawsuits all over the place, you know, folks who want to have the election, people who want it delayed. I think there was a decision, a Dane County decision, just recently thrown out.
Oh, that was yesterday, yes, that where the judge overruled the position of the clerk that people could bypass voter ID by saying they were indefinitely confined.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, because this will put a chilling impact on people being able to do same-day voting. There was a request by Governor Evers to have the legislature send every single registered voter an absentee ballot just automatically, and the Republican majority declined that offer, saying, oh, no, we don't have time to do that. And so it is a hot mess. I think, you know, and outside, we're having a lot of trouble getting clerks, maybe, you know, usually older people who volunteer to do this and have done it for years. And so, you know, of course, understandably, it'd be hard to get them to volunteer at this time. I mean, maybe this would be an opportunity to deploy the National Guard in some of these areas where there are absolutely no poll workers. You know, they could get some training from some of these elderly people on what to do prior to Election Day. I mean, I'm throwing ideas out. And maybe there will be some court intervention sometime during the week where we'll be able to extend the days for absentee voting or for the election, to extend the election. But it is a hot mess. But I do think that there's a lot at stake. We have a Supreme Court, statewide Supreme Court race going. And it really matters, and it matters a lot who you put on the state Supreme Court. I think we have local races in the city of Milwaukee. Our mayor is being contested this time. We have an open seat on the county board. We have a contested city attorney's race and a couple of circuit court branch races that need to be filled, and all of our aldermanic seats. We're transforming Milwaukee in some ways. You know, re-upping with some people, we have a lot at stake here. And I think that if we deployed some emergency resources in here, we might be able to use technology so that people could get cell phone calls when it's safe to come, when there won't be many people voting, you know, ward by ward, or, you know, calling half the ward. I mean, there are things that some of our technological geniuses may be able to come up with. I'm the congresswoman, and I applied for an absentee ballot, and I haven't gotten mine yet. So there's a huge demand on absentee ballots, and so it is pretty scary. Now, I live literally one block. I live on the same block as my polling place, which is not the case for most people. And if I have to, I'll put on my one mask that I've used over and over and over again to go and vote if I don't get that ballot. But that's me.
Sure. One more thing, Congresswoman. A few weeks ago, you came in contact with someone who had COVID-19, so you socially isolated following those CDC guidelines. And health officials have said that kind of policy keeps Wisconsin's health system from being overwhelmed, but we're seeing the economic consequences. How do you think the state can balance those two factors, health and, making money so people can feed their families, pay rent?
And you know, it's a balance that we are trying to, and I must say, on a bipartisan basis, trying to address. We're trying to not make people make choices between living, their grandmother's living, their loved ones living, and making a living. I just want to say, Keeley, that I am sorrowful for the one-time only payments, and so that we're already looking at a stimulus package, a fourth stimulus package, and I think we'll have to try to uplift people with further dollars down the line. But we are trying to make it as comfortable as possible for people to stay in their homes with this immediate infusion of cash, not just to middle-class people or taxpayers, but to every adult we can identify. And so there are going to be resources where people can use their cell phones or go online and really fill out a short form to get these dollars so that they don't have to choose between their income and their lives. We've put more money into community health centers and putting more money into protective gear, and this is another reason I'm appealing to the president and people in his party to appeal to them to get the president to use his powers to produce this personal protective equipment. These people are the front line soldiers in this war.
Right. Congresswoman Moore, thank you so much for joining us. Gwen Moore is a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 4th District, and she's also a member of the Ways and Means Committee. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.